Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Today is Friday the 13th of June, and this is Doug Kelly. Welcome to Paranexus Universe. I'm here with my co-host, Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to have everybody with us tonight. We are going to do a special show tonight on account of our guest had some sort of a family issue come up. They had to back out on us, but they were very sorry, and we'll have them back on again sometime. Just one of those things that comes up. So here we are, Grant and myself, and we're joined by our good friend and colleague, Gregory Kent. Hey, Gregory.
Hey, Doug. How's it going?
He's sitting here in the same room with me. So we're going to have a discussion tonight about some different paranormal things. We would like to invite you to be a part of tonight's show as well. So log into the chat room. There's also the phone number that you can call in live. We'd love to have your questions live. Anything paranormal, we're going to start talking about some things, and then we'll allow you to call in or ask questions. We'll just go. The number for calling in is 347-945-7799. So I'll repeat that, 347-945-7799. We'd love to hear from you. So, Gregory, you are a spiritualist minister, correct?
I am. I will get my ordination in about a year and a half, but I'm on that path, yes.
Can you just explain a little bit about spiritualism? What is it? What makes it different from other religions, etc.?
Well,
okay, everybody, apparently the Skype gods are not smiling on us tonight. We got dropped, but we do have Grant back on. Hey, Grant.
Hey, guys.
And I know Gregory was talking about spiritualism and the spiritualist religion is one that basically communicates with the dead, right, Gregory?
That's correct.
Okay. And so what means do you use to communicate with the dead, typically?
Typically, it's through mediumship. There are other modalities to communicate, but it all leads back to the mediumship.
Okay. So one of the things that Gregory has introduced to the Spirit Team, this is a couple years back now, and that is the table tipping, to doing table tipping seances, and we've done quite a few of those. Those are cool.
I always enjoy seances, and especially the table tipping, which is considered a physical phenomenon.
Okay. We've had some amazing table tipping. Grant, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's a fascinating experience, and any new groups that are forming out there or are reluctant to take into consideration the use of a person with the skills of Gregory and try seances, I think they really would be denying themselves an interesting perspective on the whole phenomenon.
That's true. I mean, we have learned so much from the table tipping. thing. And, you know, it's only occasionally that we really get the bad dudes in. Don't you think?
Oh, very, very rarely when Gregory's at the helm.
Yeah.
You're too kind.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we'll be sitting there and Gregory will say something like this, "Don't lift the table." And we'll say, "Gregory."
And we know it's not time to mess around. If Gregory talks like that, we're in deep trouble.
Trust me, I don't talk like that.
I know. It's never happened.
What did you say?
I never talk like that.
Okay, we're just goofing around, folks. Again, we apologize for dropping out, but give us a call. The number is 347-945-7799. We're also in the chat room if you've got questions. What we'd like to know is, do you have an investigation technique, some of your best evidence, something like that you'd like to discuss? You know, put it out there. We'd love to talk with you. In the meantime, we know that there's been a number of things going on UFO related. Of course, if you were with us last week, we had Stan Romanek on along with Yari, Mikola, even Kristen came in there, and even Stan's wife, Lisa, popped in there for a little bit toward the end. So we've been talking about that. Grant, you've got anything you wanted to share? I didn't know if you had a chance to...
Stan?
Or anything related to UFOs. I know you're Grant's like a walking encyclopedia of UFO information. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, well, thank you, Doug. One of the things that I'm sure most of our audience, if they're not aware of, they need to be aware of, the Phoenix lander up on Mars was having some difficulty depositing a soil sample in one of the ovens, and scientists were a little bit, concerned about it earlier in the week. And yesterday, the sample's in there. So they've actually been able to see some of the soil, which is really interesting. It's kind of sticking together and has some unusual characteristics that they didn't anticipate. So if you haven't been to the Mars Phoenix Lander website at NASA, I would encourage everybody to go there because it's going to be unfolding over the next several weeks, and maybe we'll get some interesting information.
Are they going to release that info? Like if they find something, are they going to release it right
away?
Well,
the really interesting part about it, Doug, is and Gregory, is they put that sample in, and it's going to take a while to have it done. But if you all recall back in the 1970s when the Viking landers landed on Mars, they had a similar experiment. And the experiment, they just added water to the Martian soil. And the results of that were very controversial at the time. Not many, but several scientists thought that the results indicated that there was life. And that was kind of suppressed, and they came up with a suggestion or a hypothesis that the reaction was due to the chemical agents, not the reaction of life. So who knows?
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Sure would be.
It'd be an amazing discovery.
There seems to be a lot of water at the North Pole, so we'll have to watch how it unfolds. It's a great website there, and they've got some great photographs, and I would encourage anybody that's interested in that to go and take a peek. They're also supposed to release pretty soon here some panoramic pictures.
Oh, good. I'd like to see those.
Yep.
Well, Gregory, let me ask you a question. This is, and you can take these if you wish. I know that one of the things that you do when you're doing your thing is reading auras. Can you talk a little bit about that? What do you look for in an aura? What does it mean to you when you're reading one?
Aura is nothing more than the energy field around the person. And if you sit down and look across the table at someone, you can usually see an aura, be it a white light, like a white thin light going around a person, or colors around a person. They're always there. You just have to train yourself to see it. Usually you would start off like squinting your eyes or unfocusing your eyes, and eventually that aura, that energy field that everyone has, will start making itself available to see. Two things you can do, Doug. You can read other people, Sylvia Brown, or whoever's book you want to read, Louise Hayes, about how they interpret the colors, and use that as a guide to what those colors mean when you see around individuals, or you can develop your own color scheme, which you, you know, can do through meditation or however you choose to do that.
Kind of experience will tell you what a particular color means.
Exactly. And when I started unfolding with the auras or the energy fields, I decided not to read the others' literature, to just go with my own gut feeling, to go with my own creativeness and interpret the colors as I thought they meant. And I think that's the best way to do it. So when you look at an individual, you can see the colors that they radiate, and then you interpret the colors as to what's going on in their life at that moment.
Okay. So the color of a person who is balanced,
mm-hmm.
cooking along okay in life, to you, for you, that's...
That would be a pure white light, maybe like 2 or 3 inches surrounding the individual. To me, that's just a balanced. The white light surrounds the individual completely. There's no disharmony or interruptions or break in the energy field. So to me, that would be someone who's currently in harmony. Then what I also look to see if there's any other colors associated around the white light surrounding the person. And those other colors would enable me to interpret what's going on with the person, what's happening in their life at the moment. Is it an event that's about to happen? Is it an event that's already happened? That's just the way how I train myself on where the light is around the person's head.
So do you want to share some of your color choices, or do you think people should just learn for themselves?
People need to learn for themselves. If someone wants to ask over the radio about a color, I'd be happy to talk about my personal color interpretation, but I certainly don't want to influence the way someone else perceives a color or how someone should perceive a color. But if you do ask, that would just be my opinion.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
So it's basically the colors are something that is unique to everybody, and they interpret them their own way, and so the colors could mean different things to different people.
Correct. That's how I interpret the different colors. Now, if you'd like to follow Sylvia Brown or Louise Hayes as a universal color interpretation, then that's fine. If that's the way you want to develop, then I have no problem with that. But being the type of individual I am, I just wanted to venture out on my own and develop
mm-hmm.
my own colors.
Mm-hmm. Got to do your own colors.
Got to do my own colors.
That would just be you. It's like, so you. Okay. You also, we were just doing a reading before we came on the air. Gregory's doing a reading on me, and he was giving me some baloney about winning the lottery, and...
Not true.
Oh, yes, I think it was like $10 billion. I was going to be like richer than Bill Gates, so it'd be like $100 billion. All right, anyway, but you were saying something about things that appear... Were you reading the aura, certain things close to my head and then other things away from my head?
Correct. The way I've taught myself, or the way that I see the energy, if the colors are real close to the energy field, then to me, I'm interpreting that as an event that's happening personally to the individual that's going to affect them on a everyday type of, an everyday event that's about to happen. If I see colors maybe a foot away or further, then it's not going to have that direct effect on the individual. It might have a ripple effect. Somehow the individual might be tied into that event, but it's not going to be a personal event. That it makes sense.
Yes. Everything you say makes sense. Now I'm just sucking up, you know that. Okay. All right. Gregory, what... In paranormal investigations, you have a specific approach that you like to take when doing investigations. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because it's probably a little bit different than a lot of people do, a lot of groups do anyway, because you're obviously gifted. You know, Gregory's been with the Spirit team for 2 years now, good friend, great guy, and we have had a chance to validate a lot. I mean, we have no problem with what Gregory says. I mean, so I'm taking you in that lottery thing, dude. Okay. So anyway, but you have your own approach. So would you like to just, how do you like to approach an investigation?
Well, first of all, the scientific approach should never be taken out. All the scientific equipment that you bring in should always be there, because that's almost the proof that it's actually happening, to catch the spirit on film, EVPs, or the pictures, what have you. That's very important scientifically to catch that. But there's going to be times when all your scientific equipment comes up with nothing. That's where I believe the sensitives, the mediums, psychics, whatever you'd like to call us, that's the role they play. Being able to come in to the house or the building and to be able to tell the group what they're feeling in energy, because energy is neither created nor destroyed. It's always going to be there. To let you know the energy we're feeling, you scan the house, what are the hot spots, what are the cold spots, what areas are the most active, to help set up cameras, things of that nature. So we do a walkthrough, and we help the scientific part of it to help set up to hopefully capture something on film, on tape, along that line.
So you like, I mean, the obvious advantage of having psychics and mediums on the team is that they can help you to know where to look. That's what you're saying.
It's a complementary to the science.
Right.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about that. We've talked about, obviously, the psychic aspect is subjective, and yet, you know, I look back on all the evidence that the Spirit team has captured, you know, objective evidence / scientific evidence and subjective evidence. And, you know, we haven't really got a whole lot of objective evidence. We can't point to a whole bunch of pictures and say, look what we got. Now, we've got a couple of them. And of course, we've got a bunch of EVPs that are meaningful. And that's why, to me, photography, videography on investigations, you got to have it. But
absolutely.
But it's like, you know, you're going to get your most meaningful evidence in EVPs and with psychics, because in using psychics and mediums, sensitives, empaths, intuitives, whichever the term that every individual prefers, we get information that we can later validate, and we have many times, a lot of times. In fact, we've gotten some pretty amazing stuff. I remember when Lori, the Tampa chapter director, we went to the Bartow, old courthouse in Bartow, the old, which is now a historical museum. She had never been there. She walked in, and she's hearing some spirit saying, "I'm man, I'm man, I'm man," and she has no clue what that means. Well, it turns out that the Mann brothers, M-A-N-N, who, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't they accused, or didn't they kill the sheriff or something like that? And they were lynched and displayed in the courthouse, in the rotunda. And so, you know, it's amazing what you can get with that kind of a thing. You like to... When it comes to resolving the situations, though, you like to do it a little bit differently. In other words, you like to let the energy settle, and then you like to make contact with the spirits, right?
Correct. I don't like a lot of the busy energy when I'm involved in investigation. The hustle and bustle of setting up the equipment, or exactly where the cameras go, trying to get the EVPs, all that to me is a lot of busy energy. And being a sensitive, a medium, it's all about energy, reading the energy in the room. And too much movement really can throw off my ability to really capture what's going on. But what's really nice about our team the Lakeland chapter, Central Florida chapter, is that we've got a number of sensitives. And what we do is we break up into groups and we all walk through the building that we're investigating, write down...
Separately.
Write down what we are getting, what kind of information we're getting. Then we'll get together, and probably 95% of the time, what we're getting is exactly the same.
Yeah, it's been amazing how close it's been.
There's never been 100%.
Right.
Which, you know, would be phenomenal, but, you know, anything in the 90s, I'll accept.
And some of it's interpretation, too.
Correct.
Sometimes one will get a female, sometimes one will get a male.
We're all at different energy vibrations. A sensitive could be extremely sensitive, or that evening they might not be real sensitive, and they're not picking up real strong vibrations in the investigation. So it depends on the person also.
Okay. I know that you've gone on some investigations. Of course, I haven't been on all of them that you guys have done. Can you talk about one investigation where you were able to resolve, that was truly a paranormal event, and that you were able to resolve the situation? Do you have anything like that? I know you've done.
What do you
some
mean
people.
Resolve the situation?
Well, they're having some paranormal activity. I know there's a Vero Beach one. You guys did a table tipping there in an effort to communicate with spirits, see what the deal was, see what they mm-hmm. wanted, see what unfinished business they had.
There, it's resolved to the point where the homeowner is happy with what you tell them. Okay, what I mean by that is the homeowner is experiencing paranormal, or what they think is paranormal activity. We come in as mediums or sensitives, do our investigation, explain to the homeowner what's going on, what we see that's going on. So we've had that type of being resolved. So the customer, the homeowner, is happy knowing that whatever's there is not going to harm them, is not there to be destructive. Those type of resolved answers, if that's what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times the homeowner doesn't know who lived in the house previously. So if we get names or things of that nature, if we describe the person, they're not always aware of past homeowners. So that's not really resolving unless they know the history of the house.
So after you have done your thing, does the activity seem to reside or subside? Subside?
It depends on the homeowner. When we go in and do an investigation, we can pick up the good, the bad, and some of us pick up the ugly. You know. So if the homeowner continues with their negative activities, they will continue to have negative entities in the house. That's my personal belief. If after we do the investigation, I always try and sit down with the homeowner or the homeowners and let them know, hey, I'm picking up that you on the physical side are doing these type of activities. If you want to continue those activities, that's free will. You can continue them. I'm not here to judge, but you will continue to have these type of entity problems or lower type entity problems. If you choose to no longer have these negative personal events, then I'm sure the energy is going to shift to a more positive energy.
Okay, so can you describe, Grant, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
You guys, I'm just listening. It's always wonderful to hear you to hear Gregory talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Gregory, was when you go into a home, and I've had the pleasure of being on several investigations with you, you've always been most gracious and always been, you know, tried to help me understand the skills.
Leave him alone. Go ahead, Grant.
Doug is like, you know, wanting me to play with a Ouija board or something. But what I was going to say is, Gregory, is when you come into a home, can you tell by a person's aura whether or not they might be intuitive, have some psychic abilities, and are really not aware of the level of the skills and how that may be impacting their perceptions?
Excellent question. Yes, but I haven't gone into a house yet where I've experienced that, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, if I may, when I go into a house where there's a lot of negative entities, negative energy going on, it's usually the homeowner creating that, and I can almost immediately pick up on that.
Do you see that as that energy is an attachment to them? Do you perceive it that way, or is it a visual or is it a feeling?
Both.
Okay.
I've developed in my repertoire of symbols when I go into an investigation. Certain symbols to me, certain things I see, represent things the homeowners are doing. Usually they're
ready. Getting ready for landing. Landing is scheduled for tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern hour.
I turned off the sound. Go ahead, Gregory.
I forgot where I was.
Grant, where was he?
You were talking about your perception of a person that when you walk into a room, if somebody has a lot of negative energy, how that you can pretty much perceive that fairly rapidly.
Right.
And the symbols that you associate with that.
Right. I've developed symbols. So if I go into a house that has the homeowners performing negative activities, I will right off the bat see these symbols and know what they're doing. If we go in with video cameras or tape recorders, I respect the privacy of the individuals. We'll turn the cameras off. We'll turn the tape recorders off, and I will talk to them one-on-one saying, hey, this is what I'm seeing. I'm not the law. I'm not here to judge you. But if you continue with this behavior, don't expect the energy or the entity to go away. If you want them to go away, you need to stop this physical activity in the house. And they appreciate that. They appreciate it. Yeah, we are doing this or we are doing that. They do admit it after a while once they figure I'm not a threat to them. But it's always up to the homeowner if they want to let it go or if they want to keep it. You know what I mean?
So when you get those feelings, okay, so possibly a way to define that would be maybe somebody who is dabbling in a cult.
Sure.
Sort of things.
Sure.
Or doing things more, putting more significance on something that they've done in the past that they think is somehow, for whatever personal reasons, they're dabbling in either the occult or magic or something for whatever personal gain or...
Right. When I walk into a house or an apartment, if the homeowner is dabbling in that type of activity, I'm aware that that's what they're doing. I'm going to tell them right up front, this is what I see going on in the house. This is my thought of what you're physically doing in the house. We can progress and we can resolve if you're honest and open. I'm not here to judge you. If you want to continue that activity, that's your personal free will. Please continue doing that if that's what you want. But yes, I'm able to determine that's going on in the house, And it's up to the individual, what do you want me to do from here? Do you want me
so
to-
they have to accept responsibility for whatever kind of energy that they're generating by whatever type of behavior they're engaging in, correct?
Exactly, exactly.
So that somebody who maybe their karma is not in the right place, and it doesn't mean that it's because they're a bad person, maybe they're looking to that particular sort of end to resolve something that they're having difficulty with. So if they stray off the path a little bit and get into that, then the behaviors or the energies that come about from that are attachments or manifestations of those of that turmoil, difficulty, or whatever. Would that be a safe way to...
That's a perfect way of saying it. Thank you, Greg.
Okay. And so what I like about that, Gregory, is you try to get them much the same as a good qualified mental health counselor to accept their behaviors, and by accepting their behaviors, being responsible for them, then they can actually work on changing them.
Correct. And I like to say I'm more of a spiritual advisor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Except what you're doing is causing what's going on in your environment.
Mm-hmm.
Accept that and choose, do you want to change or do you not want to change? It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. I'll tell you everything that's going on in my house. If you'd like for me to communicate with a loved one, I'll be happy to sit around and help you with that also. Maybe communication with a deceased relative and a message from them will put them on a more positive path in their life.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Interesting stuff, you know. Grant, check your chat, and we've got some more. We've got some more to talk about with Gregory as well. I was just in Stan Romanek's chat room. He had a scheduled chat tonight, and he's going to come on for a few minutes. There's apparently a CNN article on the space shuttle that there was some funky thing they saw, and so we'll chat about that and see what's been going on with him over the last week or so, and just catch up with a couple of things. So if you want to call in, the number's there on your screen. It's 347-945-7799. You can ask Gregory questions. You can ask Grant questions. You can ask Stan questions. You can even ask me questions. I might even answer. But we'd love to hear from you. If you'll hang tough with us, we'll be back in just a minute right after the break.
Hi, this is Doug Kelly, founder of the Spirit Team. We perform professional paranormal research and investigations at no charge to you. If you are experiencing mysterious events in your home or business, please contact us. We maintain your privacy, and we won't think you're crazy. And if you're a paranormal researcher, we offer an accredited certification course that will enhance your knowledge of the paranormal field and raise credibility with your clients. For more information, please visit our website at spiritteam.org. That's spiritteam with one T, .org.
the shadows. In the sky, it's Paranexus Universe.
And welcome back to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug Kelly with Grant Rubin-Dunst, the Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, everybody. Welcome.
And we have Gregory Kent here with us. He's a spirit team minister. Spirit team member. He's a licentiate spiritualist minister, but he's also a spirit team member and a great guy. Besides, I'll pay you, or you can pay me later, right?
Much later.
Gregory, you had a comment on the Mars lander. Go ahead.
No, really wasn't a comment. Grant and Doug and Stan, you remember the old sci-fi movies where the rocket ship goes to Mars, and once they land, there's these big ugly creatures and monsters that everyone was so scared of Mars. It's funny, out of the 50, 60 years later, we're actually there, and where are they? Where are these scary monsters and big spiders and what have you? It's funny how far we've come.
Well, you know, it's even funnier, Gregory. Who would have thought back in those old days when we were watching Walt Disney and everything else that if somebody would have told me when I was a 7-year-old kid that there might be life on the moons of Jupiter, we would have laughed them right down the road.
You're absolutely right. So it's kind of disappointing that we're on Mars and where are these monsters?
Yeah.
Well, they're probably going to be microscopic, I'm afraid.
Microscopic. We are going to have Stan Romanek on. He's going to update us here. Trying to connect with him now. We had him on the phone, and then it's ringing. And then the call got, hey, Stan. Sorry, man, the call dropped. The Skype gods are not smiling on us.
Yeah, welcome back, Stan.
Hey, everybody, it's Stan Romanek. He was on our program last week, and of course, if you tuned in last week, you know that we had a chance to do an investigation on a couple of nights at his home in Colorado. Stan, thanks for joining us again tonight.
Sure, no problem.
So what's been going on over the last week? Any events, anything?
After you guys came, it just stopped pretty much. Not a whole heck of a lot. We had some people up yesterday, and Rick, you know, Rick was here and spent the day, and we heard some low-pitched mumbling like we did, and it just kind of went away. Couldn't figure out where it came from or where it went. And that's pretty much all that happened. We've been kind of wondering when you guys are going to come back so we can...
Some excitement, huh? Yeah, well, we are too. So, what's going on? There's this the CNN. There was some connection or something you found familiar.
Well, it was on the forum that we have at thestanromanek.com, and a lot of people are talking about this thing that CNN captured. And I guess what happened was the shuttle, after they took off and they were in orbit, supposedly the shuttle saw this thing spinning, and they thought it was a piece of their wing or something. At least that's what I understand the CNN guy is trying to say. But, you know, it doesn't look like a piece of ice, and it doesn't look like really anything that I could tell any part of the shuttle unless it fell out of the shuttle bay itself. And if you look close, there's objects that seem to be going towards it, so other objects. Very strange-looking thing.
Interesting. So is this the way it goes? I mean, do you have activity for a while, and it settles down for a while?
It does, and it seems like when people are around, it picks up. And now that there's not a lot of people around, especially newbies, if there's a lot of new people, they'll put on a show. And, you know, that's just how it is. There are times, you know, me and my stepson talk about it, and it kind of makes my wife a little angry. And it's like, we miss it. We should try to make them come back.
Oh, really?
Lisa's like, no, I don't think so. Stop talking that way.
Yeah, really. I'd just like to state to our listeners, if you've got some questions for Stan or for Gregory, for any of us, give us a call. The number's there in the chat screen at 347-945-7799. Love to hear from you. If you've got questions, this is the time to ask. You know, Stan, we're still pouring over some of the evidence that we got from that investigation, and we got a lot of audio, and we're still trying to process that and to analyze that audio. It's kind of interesting, though. So far, really haven't gotten anything.
Really?
So far.
That's crazy. It's weird. You know, sometimes they'll let you cut stuff, and sometimes they'll, I don't know what it is that they do, but they know how to do it, and you don't catch a whole heck of a lot. I know what we experienced when we were there, you know, but, odd. Well, maybe next time you guys come back, you guys could catch more. How much more stuff do you have to go through?
Oh, we have a few hours of audio, especially through, and we do have some video yet to go through, but especially the audio, because, I mean, we had a number of digital recorders going through the whole thing, and so, you know, it's interesting because I'm almost left with the concept that, you know, we got some interesting things right off the bat, and yet, I don't know, I'm just pondering. I guess I'm thinking out loud because we can usually pick up some EVPs, and so far there might have been a suspicious thing or two, but nothing really in the area of EVPs because we're not entirely sure at this point. At least we're not. Stan, you and I had this conversation when we're not entirely sure yet whether there's a mixture of spirit activity with other things or what exactly is going on. So we're still trying to pour over the evidence and see if we get anything spirit related versus other related. So what's on the agenda? What do you got things going on that you can talk about or upcoming events?
Well, I've got my big talk in Colorado Springs, Colorado, the 28th. Getting ready for that. Got some more appearances to on the radio and TV and stuff like that. Just recently, we've been talking to ABC about doing some shows out in New York. They want to fly us out to New York. The only trouble is I'm terrified of flying, so that's going to be interesting. I don't like being stuck in a tiny little box like that.
Hold on just a second. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I'm go ahead and ask. Gregory would like to talk about the pictures on the site.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, Gregory.
The pictures of the shadows, Stan, can I ask you a question about those?
Sure, go for it.
I'm just trying to put one and one together and get two instead of four in my mind. The shadow on the walls, is it your thought that is like an extraterrestrial making themselves known?
Or no, I honestly don't know. I can't. And that's why Paranexus got involved, you know, Doug and Mary got involved. Because throughout my experiences, there's all this paranormal activity, and nobody really knows what to call it, so they call it high strangeness.
High strangeness, right.
Yeah, whenever you're an experiencer like I am, and there's, you know, quite a few people out there, you get this other stuff. You get this, I don't know, collateral stuff that starts to happen. My stepdaughters and my stepson started seeing these shadows quite a few years ago, way back when we lived in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And they seem to follow us wherever we go. There's one instance where actually we chased one around the house with our video camera, had it on night shot, and you could catch this movement everywhere, and we kind of cornered it in the corner of a room and clearly see something just going by the camera. Really crazy.
What I was going to ask is, as you were chasing this with your camera, were you seeing it against the wall, like it would follow the wall? Or was it like in the movie The Predator, when they first saw the Predator, that kind of like distortion in the middle of a room? Can you distinguish between the two for me?
Yeah, with the scenes that were in Colorado Springs and in the other house, you could kind of see him out of the corner of the eye, but if you look straight at him, you couldn't really see him. But the night shot was able to catch them better than your vision was able to. But these things that were in the house, and it was during the daytime, the most recent things, it looked like, it looked like the Predator. And no, they weren't against the wall. They were out in the middle of the room. On all the occasions, they were walking, or it looked like they were moving around. They weren't like a shadow up against the wall. They were like some kind of three-dimensional thing.
Okay, because with my studies in metaphysics and with mediumship, I've come in contact with what I call shadow people, spirit, lack of a better word, spirit entity, only because I don't have any reference to ETs, extraterrestrial, in my file cabinet of life, so to say. So I have to always, call it something I'm familiar with. So it's always been a spirit entity until I grow with my knowledge that it could be something else. So I have seen what I call the shadow people. So I'm just wondering if it's something that was always against a wall, or if it was actually in the middle of a room also. That was just what I'm trying to wrap my mind around.
Well, there seems to be some kind of connection between the UFO phenomenon and the ghost phenomenon. I'm not sure if these little ET guys or who or whatever they are, I think they know how to manipulate that, what would you call it, realm, that dimension. That, I mean, if you're so highly advanced in the type of technology they're using, I'm sure it kind of cross-references into that particular dimension. That's my own personal, I don't know if that's true or not, and I'm not sure anybody does, but that's my own personal theory.
Are you, correct me if I'm wrong, are you saying that they're possibly presenting themselves in a way that they know you could better understand their presence?
I think that's probably true in a lot of times that I've experienced these things. I can't really tell you exactly what's going on. A lot of people always ask me, well, what are they doing here? Why you? I can't really tell you. But I can tell you it seems that they've gone out of their way to make their presence known. And that includes, showing up only when there's people around, like they did for Doug and Yari.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, Dan, if I may, and it might be me asking you your theory on this. Why not just show up in the middle of your living room in whatever form they present themselves in their original form? If they want to make contact, why not just show up in their normal form and make contact?
Well, I think they actually have tried.
Okay.
And I can tell you my experiences. I get pretty freaked out. I had a couple experiences, and one was on Larry King live, and I danced around like a little girl and ran away pretty much. And especially for a guy like me who started out as a major skeptic, it's still, even now, if they just suddenly showed up without at least a lot of people, there with me, I'd probably get a little nervous. And I think they're concerned about that. As far as I know, I don't really know what their agenda is, but it seems like they're concerned. They don't want to over-frighten. And I have a theory about that, too. I think the way they communicate, I think if you're too afraid, I think it's actually painful for them.
So if they were to show up in their natural form, let's say they're all 3 foot high with bulging black eyes, just just for this moment, just to talk.
Okay, sure.
If they were to show up in their form, normal form, in the middle of your living room, you would probably come to 20 minutes later after you pass out, right?
No, I wouldn't pass out. I'd probably be concerned. But, you know, especially if I was by myself or if it was just a few of us, you know, there'd have to be, you know, my friends around, and I'd have to know that, you know, humans in general are afraid of what they don't understand.
Exactly.
And we still are, and it's my, I'm hoping that I can enlighten the human race as well as enlighten myself in the journey to be able to accept these things. I mean, at this point, we can't even accept our own race.
Right.
So, you know, I want to come to terms with it, but, you know, I have to know that I'm not going to be harmed. To encounter something so advanced is a little disturbing because, you know, you can, I'm always afraid that I'm going to disappear and, or, you know, I'm suddenly going to go somewhere and not come back. Or there's always that fear that, you know, they're so advanced they could do whatever they want. I can't stop them.
So in my world, Greg's world, when I talk or want to talk to spirit entities, spirits, I just talk to them as if they were standing right there in the room with me. Have you done that with the extraterrestrial visitors?
We do that. Me and my wife do that all the time when we start having this weird paranormal stuff happening, like, you know, the weird bumps on the ceiling and these weird low-pitched kind of weird mumbling noises or the humming noises. Well, I mean, we talk out loud quite a bit. I don't know if it helps or if it doesn't. It doesn't seem to. Sometimes it seems to make a difference. Sometimes it doesn't.
I mean, would it hurt just to say, hey, I want to believe in you. I want you to make yourself known. I'm ready for whatever you have prepared for me. Let me have it.
I've tried that, too. And let me tell you, they have definitely let me have it.
Oh, really? How's that?
Well, you know, the experiences that I've had over the years have been quite a bit, and there are literally hundreds of different things that I've encountered to the point where, you know, I have some top scientists and some top universities involved in my case. So, you know, and they've got surveillance around my house, and the things we capture on surveillance alone is just quite amazing. And the physical evidence I come back with is quite amazing. Now, the question is, why are they doing it now when there's only a lot of people around? That means they're trying to make a statement, I think.
Right.
And I honestly think it's coming to the point, and it's weird, it really is, it's baffling to me, especially lately. I think about this all the time, especially with all the press that I've been getting, how it's correlated with other things. Like, for instance, the Vatican just came out, and that just blows me. I talk about that all the time because that just is absolutely dumbfounding to me. You know, they came out and pretty much said, yeah, ETs are real and don't be afraid of them and it's okay to think about them and we're going to try to baptize them. And then, you know, England just recently came out and opened their records. The only country that hasn't so far is the United States. But even the Pope just, you know, there's this guy named Monsignor Balducci, right-hand guy for the Pope, and I've got a little clip of him talking about the different types of ET they know about. That's crazy.
That is interesting. Let me ask you a question, if I may, Stan. And
sure.
Why you?
You know, that's the $100 million question. You know, I believe, honestly, you know, they could have gone with the physicist or the whatever, but I don't think it would have made that big of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I think they went with your average guy. I'm severely dyslexic, so I'm not really good at math and some of the things I've encountered. You know, there's some equations involved that there's no way I could have written. You know, they're just trying to get to the masses, I think. And with an average person like me, I think, you know, I honestly think they, you know, are maybe hoping that this is the better way to do it.
Well, you know, the other thing is, too, fellas, is I think that if you know, if indeed, and I'm not refuting anything you're saying, Stan, if we're actually dealing with an extraterrestrial culture, how can we possibly fathom the non-human mind?
Oh, exactly.
How could we possibly know what their intentions are? I mean, you know, there's no way.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, Gregory's asking some good questions that, you know, a lot of people maybe would like to ask who are not familiar, terribly familiar with the case. And, you know, that's a good thing. Folks, we're going to take just a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute. But hang with us. We've got Gregory Kent with us and Stan Romanek, along with Grant and I will be taking a call. So if you've got calls, feel free to call us. Numbers are on your screen, 347-945-7799. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
Georgia Paranormal Research Society is composed of individuals with a common goal, the scientific investigation of the paranormal. It is our hope that these investigations will allow those of us in the paranormal community to bring about answers that will benefit us as well as helping to educate the general public. We approach all investigations and questions with the utmost professionalism and confidentiality required for the situation. If you are experiencing strange occurrences around your home or place of business, such as unexplained noises, smells, or visual phenomenon, these could be possible signs of paranormal activity. If you're interested in finding some answers to these questions, or if you'd like to have our team investigate the activity, visit us at www.wgprs.com for more information. Research, assistance, understanding. We're here to help you.
It's Paranex's universe. Darkness follows.
And welcome back to Paranexus Universe. This is Doug Kelly with my co-host Grant. Hey, Grant.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's nice to have everybody here tonight.
And we've got couple of good friends on with us tonight. Gregory Kent from the Spirit Team, as well as Stan Romanek. Welcome, Gregory.
Hey, how's it going?
And Stan, welcome back.
Hello.
And glad you had a chance to join us tonight. Gregory's been asking some good questions. You know, questions that we all have go through our minds, and that a lot of people in the world want to know. And it's given, Stan, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I know you've answered these questions until you're probably blue in the face, but there's a lot of people out there who still are trying to get familiar with your case, and, you know, they're going to be kind of some of the same questions they ask.
Hey, Stan, can I ask you some more questions?
Sure, go for it.
At what age did this all start? Your age?
Well, the main part of it started in 2000. There were some other very strange little incidences when I was a small child, but I didn't put two and two together until, you know, the other main stuff started. My father, I grew up in the Air Force. My father was in the Air Force, and he was stationed at Grand Forks, North Dakota, and would work between Grand Forks and Minot, North Dakota. We lived in a small town called Northwood, North Dakota, and there was this weird little kind of story in our family. In 1965, there was a rash of UFO sightings over the missile silos, and it's very well documented. You can do the research yourself, and it did something. It flew over some of the bombers there and changed some of the codes in the missile silos. Well, my dad was there when that happened. And when I was a kid, I remember my brother coming in from doing his paper route talking about this UFO that was over the water tower in the small town that we were living in. And what happened was they tracked this UFO from Minot, North Dakota, then to Grand Forks, and then to the small town where we lived. And they watched it. You know, my brother watched it over the town water tower for quite a while. And I remember after that, we started getting bottled water, and I thought that was really strange. And the kids like, why are we drinking water out of a bottle?
When you say UFO, I can safely assume you mean a flying saucer-type object?
Yes, exactly. In fact, a lot of, from the 60s to the 80s, there have been quite a few visits to different missile bases and missile silos, especially along the Canadian border, which, you know, North Dakota is pretty much right by the Canadian border.
What did your brother say it looked like?
Well, both my dad and my brother said it was a huge, huge kind of oval-shaped object or oblong spherical-shaped object.
Did they say it spinned or just hovered
above
or?
No, they said kind of, my brother said it pulsated. Now, we didn't, you know, after a while we stopped hearing about it, and then if you'd ask my dad later on, he'd kind of deny it. Just recently he talked about it a little bit, but my brother remembers it, and so does my sister. And what's interesting about when that happened, I was 5 years old when that happened, and I remember a strange lady kind of involved. It was my childhood. She showed up when I was 5, and then after my dad was relocated somewhere else to a different base, it was actually Cheyenne, Wyoming, she showed up there again in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and showed up two more times when we moved to Denver. And
this was the Minot, the event you were describing as a kid when you guys were there, your dad was there, was the Minot event where the missiles went offline?
Yes.
Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Minot or Grand Forks, I don't remember exactly. It was one of those bases. And that's not the only time it's happened. It also happened in the 80s, too, when they did something to the codes. Well, the UFOs were over, and the missiles started arming. scared the heck out of everybody.
Stan, the...
Yep, that's true. It was Minot Air Force Base.
Yes, yes.
Vintage around 1964, 1965, and there was a rash of sightings that occurred where UFOs actually de-armed and armed the missiles again.
Yeah,
absolutely correct, Stan.
Yeah, yeah, and we were there when...
Your father was an Air Force officer there? Was he stationed at the base?
Yeah, yeah, he was. He was at Grand Forks, and he'd work between Minot and Grand Forks. He did some kind of security thing there. I'm not sure. Nobody really knows what my dad did. Well, he didn't talk about it.
You know, if you look, that whole area has got missile silos planted all over the place.
Yeah, it's honeycombed with them.
Yeah, it is. Same with South Dakota. There's quite a few of them in there. I mean, I lived in the Black Hills for quite a number of years, and you see the missile silos, and the same is true up in North Dakota, because you know, it's out in the middle of fields and farmers' fields, and they have all kinds of security, and they've got, you know, people probably know, they go down, what is it, 60 feet down below, and they've got the control room.
There's missile silos everywhere. Literally. I mean, even close to where we live, there are a bunch of missile silos.
Really?
In places you wouldn't even expect. They've got them hidden, so, you know, they could even have them hidden just a few miles from your house and you wouldn't even know it.
Stan, did your father ever talk to you about any of those incidents? My guess would be probably no, but did he ever mention anything to you about it?
He mentioned, you know, the thing with the UFO, with the missile silos. But no, if you ask him now, he totally denies everything. I remember once when I was about 20 years old, we got in some kind of weird philosophical discussion, and my dad told me, he goes, "Well, you don't really want to know what the government knows." And I always thought that was odd. Still do, and if I ask him now, I'll say, "I don't remember saying that."
Mm-hmm. Because the interesting thing is there, at that particular incident at Minot, if your dad was on security were the people that called into the mountain and told him, there's a UFO sitting out here.
Yeah, yeah.
And at first, anybody who's familiar with that particular case, the upper echelon in command there refused to believe it and didn't even go out until the point that the guards and security people around Minot, around the base,
Okay, everybody, sorry about that. For some odd reason, the calls all dropped. We got everything. I guess the Skype gods are just not smiling on us tonight. We're going to try to get Stan back on the line here along with Grant. We'll try Stan first. And sorry, Michael. Yeah, everybody's listening. And we'll get back with that.
Hello?
Hey, Stan. Apparently everybody got dropped off this call. So if you want to continue,
sure.
Then I'm going to get Grant back on the line.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's who knows what the deal is. So you were talking about your father, I believe.
You
want to go ahead and continue that?
You know, my dad never really talks much about that kind of stuff, and even if you ask him now, he'll just deny it. But, you know, it was always an ongoing kind of weird little story in my family. So, you know, and if you do the research, it really happened. So I'm going to tend to believe what my brother says and remember the stories.
Gregory, you had a question for Stan.
Stan, sorry my questions are elementary, but I don't have any reference like you have reference. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. The only reference I have to flying saucers is what I see in Hollywood. You know, on the movies, used to be the old, you know, spinning tops.
Yeah.
Explain what you see to help me understand what they really look like?
Well, there really are a lot of different types. You know, it's interesting. There is, and I think about this all the time, it doesn't really take that much to condemn a man to jail. But there is so much evidence that UFOs exist, it's almost unbelievable, but they won't accept, people just won't accept evidence. Now, the UFOs that I've seen, range anywhere from pulsating giant 40-foot diameter orbs to disks to the ones that me and Doug and Yari saw looked almost triangular, with a triangular, elongated triangular shaped UFOs. And, you know, it's not so much the objects are strange by themselves, it's more so the way they move that's just hard to explain. First of all, they're a lot smoother. They don't have the jerkiness like you would see in an airplane. They aren't slow in any way, shape, or form. They can maneuver in such a way that would defy the laws of gravity and physics. I mean, we've watched these things just recently when Doug and Yari were here doing the investigation at the house. And these guys were just, I mean, they were cooking. I mean, they were going really fast.
So there's the good possibility that these objects that you're seeing are not appearing on radar. Or do you think they are, and no one's
sometimes
talking?
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But even if they do, they're going to admit to it anyhow.
So it would be nice to have someone on the inside, like, watching the radar. If you ever see something in your neighborhood, call over and say, hey, do you see anything going on out there right now? And get their reaction. It'd be nice to have that type of inside person.
It would be, and it happens sometimes, but a lot of times, you know, and there really is no place to go if you experience something like this. And there's really no place to call other than, you know, privately run organizations that are run by the public. But there's no professional place to call to say, hey, I've had a sighting. And most of the places you do call, all they do is document it, and that's it. They do nothing else because there really is nothing else to do. Nobody can really explain the phenomenon. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm really, with my heart, and trying to enlighten people and trying to get the conversations going and trying to get people to realize that there's a phenomenon out there and it's a real deal. I've seen it for myself. I mean, it's funny when Doug came over and, you know, we could still laugh about this. You know, he's saying, oh, nothing ever happens to me. I never get to see anything. We're talking about it today, actually. And, you know, he came over and got to see his first UFO.
Yeah, and among other things.
Yeah, they're real. They're not something people make up. And you can tell that they're otherworldly just by the way they move. There's no way. If we have technology like that, I'd really be surprised. A lot of people say, well, you don't know what the government has. But I can tell you those things move in ways that there's no way we could have that kind of technology.
That was a beautiful thing, too. You know, it was a beautiful thing. Let me scroll up in Skype. See, Mike, if you can restate your question. I've lost the chat room, the earlier post in the chat room, because we got dropped and had to refresh. So if you could retype your question or call in, try calling in again, we can address that question. Yeah, when we for those of you who may not have tuned in last week when we were talking with Stan about the events, you know, we got an amazing AVP, anomalous voice phenomena, that we can neither prove nor disprove. You know, it's just the circumstances surrounding it are extremely interesting. What it says is interesting. Of course, if you remember Paranexus, you can listen to that. Basically, Yari had picked up on some entities, or at least he thought he had. And so he was looking around, and then we stepped outside for a moment. And Stan was on the computer on the dining room table, he came out and told us, we came back in and we got this recording that said, "Why are they here?" Second voice says, "For Starseed." The first voice again says, "Can they see or hear us?" Now, we think there might be a third voice that says, "Only if we let them." So that's the what we got. That was amazing in itself. And that was on Thursday. Nobody really knew we were coming. I mean, it was more of a last-minute thing, right, Stan?
Yeah.
And so, anyway, and then Saturday, we saw the water faucet turn on by itself. TV turned on a total of four times by itself. We saw that UFO. Some amazing stuff.
Yeah, and that's just pretty typical for us here. And a lot of people, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you don't believe, I'm not really here to try to calm anybody or try to convince anybody that it's real. I would like them to come to terms with it by themselves, you know, on their own. I'd like to share with them my experiences. So, you know, and there's a lot of people out there that have had experiences and are afraid to talk about it because they don't want people to think they're nuts. And that's another reason I'm doing what I'm doing, because somebody has to.
Stan, I've got a good friend of mine who says she has been abducted. She also says they've implanted something in her. Have you been abducted also?
Oh, probably. I've been taken probably seven times. The last time I was taken actually with a friend. We were up in a cabin. There's a documentary filmmaker involved on my case.
Somebody's on your case.
Yeah, but with my case, and he's got a cabin up in the hills, and we were up there, and it seems like every time I go to this cabin, something happens. Well, I was taken, and so was our friend, and you know, we both remember it plain as day. And, you know, what's interesting is I always come back with some kind of physical evidence. As far as implants are concerned, they're real. I know they're real because I went to a doctor and had one removed. And it was sent to a university, and they just are having a complete fit over this thing because they can't explain it.
Was that Roger Lear, Dr. Roger Lear?
No, Dr. Roger Lear, I know him. I've met him quite a few times. He's a doctor that has gotten involved in a lot. But the way we're doing this, the way the investigators are and the researchers are doing the
Hey, everybody, we're back. Sorry, really don't know what's going on with the lines tonight. This is probably the worst night we've had with Skype. And I don't even know what to say about it. We're trying to get Stan back on the line now here. Hey, Stan. Hey, Stan, we all got dropped again. Sorry about that. You know, I think you need to tell your buddies to stop this, right?
Yeah, who knows who's doing this.
Chase those black cars away from the front of your house tonight, Stan.
Yes. Gregory had a follow-up question.
Sure.
Stan, you said you remember when you were up at the cabin and you were abducted. Do you remember being on the ship itself?
I don't remember that part. neither does our friend. But what we do remember, well, first of all, I woke up and... usually when I go, I mean, my first experience, I was actually completely awake when it happened. So, but this time I woke up fairly early in the morning and I was missing all my clothes. And that's usually a good indication something happened. But I couldn't find my clothing anywhere. And when I got up, I put something else on, went to the bathroom. there was blood all over my nose, and that's always another good indication I was taking. We eventually found my parts of my missing clothes out in the meadow next to the cabin. Well, at first I thought, you know, I remember some stuff happening. I remember, I thought it was, I was kind of hoping it was a dream, that I was down on the bottom level by the hot tub. And at the bottom level, there's some doors by the hot tub that open up to the outside. And for some reason, I was down there, I was drawn down there for whatever reason, and my friend, our friend Heidi was right behind us, or right behind me, and she had walked down the stairs to see where I was going. There were also some dogs there with some other friends that were staying at the cabin, and one of the dogs was right next to me growling at the open door, and there was something standing out by the open door. And I remember whatever it was raised its hand, and it was holding a silver, almost looked like a lipstick case, pointed it toward the dog, and literally I could feel the energy pass my leg and the heat pass my leg. Watch this energy hit the dog. The dog just yiped, started rolling around, and, you know, pretty much relieved itself all the way up the stairs. It didn't kill the dog, but it was in a lot of discomfort. It was growling at whatever it was, and I think whatever it was that was out there felt threatened and, you know, did something about it. Well, in any case, you know, when I woke up, I'm thinking, well, if this was real, I'm going to go downstairs and see this mess the dog made. If it's not real, the mess isn't going to be down there. Well, we went downstairs, and sure enough, all the way across the floor, all the way up the stairs, the dog, you know, had relieved itself. And then my friend Heidi started recalling stuff too, so both of us. And then we found indentations and other evidence out in this field. So something definitely happened.
Wow.
Okay, there's a question in chat. Let's see, from Mike Jones. He's a new Spirit Team member. I'm finding it here. Stan, he asked, I've had experience with this type of experience since my childhood and was wondering, did you notice any smells or skin texture?
I can tell you a smell from my first abduction experience. First of all, I want to tell everybody that, you know, a lot of these debunkers and a lot of these news programs will say, well, if people are having alien abductions, it's usually sleep paralysis.
Okay, folks, once again, we are back, and we're going to try to get everybody back on the phone. I have no clue. Jeepers. Okay, folks, yet again, we are back. We've got Stan on the line with us now. Stan, you, when we got dropped, you were hearing something?
Well, when we got dropped, I heard voices on the other end going, calm one, stat something or other, some weird voices that weren't voices that should be there.
Hmm. Okay, folks, let's go back to the question. I'm not sure you had a chance to really fully answer it. Mike's question on the smells. Did you have anything else to add?
Yes, I did, actually. You know, in right about now, the Russian olive trees, if you know what Russian olive trees are blooming. And that smell always seemed, I always would get real anxious whenever I'd smell that smell. And for some reason, I'd get panic attacks, and I couldn't figure out why. And then it kind of dawned on me, well, man, that's a familiar smell for some reason. Well, I messed with it and played with it for a little bit, and then I found out that if I took a little bit of alcohol and put some alcohol in the palm of my hand, and I held Russian olive flowers, that smell is exactly the same smell I smelled during my first experience.
Okay, good. We also have another question in the chat room from Hugh. Chris, he's also a spirit team member in Lakeland, Florida. Let's see. Apparently this was in reference to something you were mentioning earlier. If I understand that, Chris, or not. He says, I don't believe with the all things are carbon-based, but would energy be energy no matter where it originates?
Yeah, I believe that. And sometimes I wonder if some of the things that are involved with me might just be taking on a form that I understand, just so I can deal with it, maybe. That's my own theory. I can't tell you that's for sure or not. But, yeah, I believe that, you know, everything goes on. Energy never dies. It just changes.
Okay. Interesting stuff. Grant, you're with us, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
You know, Doug's got one of those pocket Ouija boards, and he pulls it out, and either that or those guys that are sitting in front of your house saying are pointing the particle weapon my way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, this is not normal. And this happens a lot when I go on radio shows over the phone. They'll just drop off.
Really? You get cut out on other shows as well?
Yeah, and not just on my end, on their end also. And it's weird that, you know, after you guys, after it hung up, I heard other voices on the line saying, Comstat 1, blah, blah, blah. I'm going, what the heck? Hello? Then it hung up again.
Hmm, interesting. So, Grant, did you, like, piss off the stat gods today for some reason?
Apparently I must have, Doug. I don't know. I didn't, you know, offer enough burnt offerings to them today, and so, you know, they're rebuking me tonight, I guess.
I guess.
So. I did have a question for Stan, though, and I don't know if I asked him this the first time he was on the show in regards to his abductions experiences. Stan, when you've been abducted in the past, and I know that when we talked, you said it had been numerous times, have you observed other abductees when
yes.
you've been abducted?
Yes, there seems to be, and my wife likes to joke about it, there seems to be another woman. The times that I can remember, there was the same woman there, too. And she, what I remember was the sheer terror in her, you know, expressions. But she was there whenever I was there. And I don't know what the connection was, but it was definitely unusual.
How about have you ever experienced, you know, a lot of times abductees have seen hybrid children. Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yes. In fact, during one of my regressions, I have very vivid memories of this experience. And there were a bunch of people there with video cameras rolling during this regression. And I remember watching the video camera, and people were bawling, really bawling, because they could see what was happening to me in this regression. I remember I was in a room, and these things came toward me, and they were bringing all these different little kids. I thought they were kids at first, but they were at different stages, and some looked more human, some looked less human. But there were all these bunch of kids, and they'd gather around us, and they were holding us and hugging us, and they were there, and me and this female, this other woman were in there, and I just felt this just intense joy, like, you know, long-lost family or something. I can't explain it. And suddenly they were being taken out of the room, and I was going to fight whoever or whatever was taking them out of the room because I wanted to save these kids. And there was this one little, I think it was a boy, was holding onto my leg, and he just would not let go. He did not want to go back to where they took him to. Anyways, you could tell he was not altogether human, probably. And it just, I bawled hysterically. I was angry and sad, and you could tell the children were sad, and everybody was crying. And then they seemed to be in a rush, and they actually put the wrong clothing on me when they returned to me.
But, you know, what you explained is consistent with the phenomena, though, pretty much across the board. Folks have many times experienced the same thing. Now, do you get together, Stan, with any people in the area out there that have also been abducted?
I did for a while. I was being seen by Dr. Neil Spinkle. It first started out with a person named Deborah Lindemann, who was a hypnotherapist, and I ended up going to Dr. Neil Spinkle, who's very famous. I mean, I've met John Mack and, you know, all those other real famous people. And yeah, I did that for a while, but you know, I understand that a lot of abductees go through that, and support groups weren't really necessary in this situation. I've had a support group pretty much living with me. My wife has been great. I mean, she has been the biggest support, and she has kept me grounded and,
Sweetheart.
She really is. And, you know, it's interesting. I got to tell you this. When they put me in this raw, they put me in a woman's nightgown, and I actually woke up in it not knowing exactly what had happened. And I woke up my wife, and I asked her if this was hers, and she just started laughing hysterically because this thing was so tight on me. I was stuck in it like a sausage, and it was nobody's. It didn't belong to my wife or my stepdaughters. And we knew what had happened at that point. But what's interesting about it was there was a wet spot on the back of this nightgown. And then when it was sent to the scientists, they found a protein that they couldn't identify. They also found something called, something that resembled, and I see if I can get this right, polyvinyl propylene. And what that is, it's a medium that they use for vitro fertilization. Or vitro fertilization, I don't know how to pronounce that correctly either.
In vitro fertilization, mm-hmm.
Yeah, they use it to suspend the egg when they fertilize the egg. Now, it's not exactly the same, but it closely resembles this polyvinyl propylene. Now, what is that doing on that nightgown? That's the really strange question.
Well, you know, the other thing that's interesting about that, Stan, is, you know, In the captured book that Stanton Freeman co-authored, one of the most interesting things in that book when they revisited the case of Barney and Betty Hill was that Betty had a dress during the abduction that was also stained.
Sure.
And they couldn't identify the DNA in there. But one of the things that they had kind of hypothesized was that perhaps the aliens... some of the material that stained her dress was almost a bio-guard shield that the aliens used to protect themselves.
Yeah, that could very well be. And, it's interesting you mention that because the same scientists working on the Betty and Barney Hill case have been working online, and there seems to be a lot of similarities.
Well, the thing that's so interesting about the abduction cases is there's a lot of people that appear to have been legitimately experienced what you have, or very similar things.
Oh, yeah, thousands, actually, of people.
And so if that's actually going on, for whatever reason, you guys have, and one of the reasons why I asked you if you had seen children, is that's a common theme through the abductions, that the aliens present us, or present the abductees, with children that have the appearance of being hybrids. So the thing that I find so fascinating about it is the fact that the aliens are trying, if they, you know, and I'm not saying that they're not, they're trying to communicate with us. But once again, we can't understand their motives because they're obviously not human.
Yeah. Well,
and it's almost as if they symbolically try to give us pieces of the puzzle.
Well, you know, I believe, you know, just like there's good and bad here, there's good and bad up there. I said that the last time I was on with you guys. And I truly believe that. I don't really understand what their motives are. But I think there are some of those out there that are really trying to help us, and there are some of those out there that don't really care and are just doing their own thing. You know, the question is, how do we decide what group is the right group to go with? That's going to be the tough part. There's so many different, everybody has their own idea of what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing. And to be honest, I am more confused now than I've ever been. I can tell you that they do not communicate like we do in any way, shape, or form. They are so much more advanced than we are. It's unbelievable. And, I also wonder why they do the things they do. And I think they're really fascinated with our emotions. I don't think they have emotions, but not like we do. And they looked surprised when I was reacting the way I did with the children in the room. They actually kind of looked surprised, like, what in the world are they doing?
Hey, Stan, can I have a question?
Sure.
One of the well-known psychics has stated on television that extraterrestrial can take the form of humans and walk amongst us so they could study us or so we wouldn't be afraid. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know if there is such a thing as a shape-shifting alien. That might be a little bit woo-woo for me, but I do believe there are different types of alien species. There's so much evidence of this. It's unbelievable. And the people out there listening, you can do your own research and find out for yourself. But there are these Nordic types that look like us. They're just, taller and more fit and, a lot smarter. They call them tall whites. They're not really light grays, but they're extremely tall white beings. They're little gray types. There's praying mantis looking types. And it seems like there really are these different types out there. I mean, if you think about it, they estimate that there's over 200 million planetary systems in our galaxy alone, and there's over 200 million galaxies. That's a lot of space not to have life on it. And, the universe is way older than we are. So there has to be something out there. There just has to be. It doesn't make sense otherwise.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Let me also ask this. If you're standing next to someone that is also an abductee, do you feel a familiarity with them, that maybe you have a common bond?
It's weird you ask that question. Yeah, I can. There is some kind of weird connection, and I can't tell you what it is, but you can tell the people who are genuine and the people who aren't, at least I can. You just have a kind of a knowing. You know how you, some people might have this, some people might not, but you know how when you go in a location and it feels kind of creepy?
Right.
Well, it's kind of like that. I don't know how else to explain it. You just have a knowing of a thing.
So you would have a knowing that the person next to you, say, on the bus or at the grocery store, was probably abducted like you were?
Not so much that. You'd wonder about it. It's not like you'd actually know, but let's say you're on a UFO convention or UFO talk or something, and there's a lot of people that are there for the UFO talk. And you're a good example. When I went to the thing Leo Sprinkle did, and there were other abductees, I had a pretty good idea who were being honest about their abduction experience and who were just wanting attention for whatever reason. And they could also tell it me. It's just some weird connection, and I can't explain it, but it's there.
So you feel a connection with other people. And I'm wondering also if the entities were the type that took a human-like form. Would you have that kind of strange feeling around that type, if you know what I'm trying to get at?
Yes, I understand what you're trying to get at. Me and my wife, like when we go out, we look around the room and we talk about it every once in a while. It's like, I wonder who here is probably not human. And I'm almost positive there's somebody out there. You know, when you go to a restaurant, you just see somebody, you just get that feeling like, man, that's not right. They're acting just totally bizarre.
Well, Doug thinks I'm from the mothership, so I know what you're saying.
Understood, man. Krieger's an alien-human hybrid, along with Tracy.
Great talk.
Hey, everybody. We're back yet again tonight. Okay. Okay, everybody. Yet once more, we're back. We've got Stan on the line. Stan, welcome back yet again.
Hello.
And we'll get Grant back on here. Folks, we've got about 8 minutes remaining. And so what we're going to do is we're going to try to wrap things up pretty quick here. Grant, we can hear you. We just got dropped a couple of times.
Yep. Stop. Okay. Skype gods aren't good to us tonight.
Oh.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah.
Before you come into your show, did you hear what happened just recently about the helicopter?
No. Go ahead.
Day before yesterday, I was out mowing the yard, and all of a sudden I heard this just amazingly loud sound. I looked behind me, and about 50 feet above the neighbor's house was a helicopter. Guy had the helicopter window or door off, and they were taking pictures of me with this huge 35-millimeter camera.
You're kidding.
And the neighbors came running out, and everybody's trying to figure out what the heck was going on. It was crazy. So, yeah, pretty amazing stuff.
And that was what day?
Day before yesterday.
And they were taking pictures of you?
Yeah, they sure were. All the neighbors saw it, so.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't even know. Amazing. Well, we're gonna just start wrapping the show up because whatever the reason is, we're just dropping out constantly tonight, and that's a first. We've never been dropped this many times.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, maybe that's it. You know, of course I was born on this on Friday the 13th, not on June, but in February, and I guess I just took all the good luck out of that day, huh? Hey, there's a positive slant.
I don't know.
All right. So, folks, those of you who are listening to us tonight, we appreciate you bearing with us and with all these connection problems that are unusual. We appreciate you listening. Wanted to take a look to see who we've got with us next week. So we've got Annalisa Ventola, right, Grant?
Right. Yep. From Public Parapsychology, and it ought to be a really interesting show.
Yeah, so please come join us again next week. And if you have not been to Paranexus, take a look at paranexus.org. We'd love to have you as members. There's also some of Stan's evidence in Paranexus, and the shadow pictures, the anomalous audio that we had captured are in there. You can listen and review those things. So come join us at paranexus.org. Plus, we have the conference coming up in October, a week before Halloween in Tampa. We'd love to have you join us there, too. We've got some great speakers lined up, some fun activities, some networking, and good education. So come take a look at paranexus.org. We'd love to have you. It's an Association of Paranormal Researchers. Appreciate you joining us. Stan, thanks so much for talking to us again. We hope to have you on again soon.
Oh, you bet.
Always good talking to you, Stan.
And Gregory.
Yeah.
Thanks for helping us out tonight.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, it was great. You did excellent.
It's nice being part of the studio audience.
Yeah, that's right. He's sitting here looking at me, making faces. Not really, though. Anyway, did a good job. And Grant, as always, thanks for bearing with us. Thanks for your knowledge on this subject, which is extensive.
Well, thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to do a show with you two guys. So.
Oh God, the sucking up is really going on here, huh?
Yeah, I'm bucking for assistant director of the Spirit Team or something.
Oh, I thought you were.
Oh, I am. That's.
Yeah, fun job. Okay, everybody, you have a great night, great week. Stan, please tell Lisa hello for us. And
she's listening.
Oh well, Lisa, thanks for listening, and good night to everybody. We hope to see you next week. Have a great week.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
It's Paranexus Universe.